Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest from Regional Psychological Services, Dr. John Braccio, drjohnb.com, the Master of Assessments. Hello, John.
Hello there, Jack. How's everything on this beautiful afternoon?
Couldn't be much better. Now that we are through with Labor Day and on to another school year, we talked about this a lot last week, but any last-minute advice for parents and or students about how to maximize their opportunities in 2010?
You have to make sure there's a routine. The parents have to be involved with the kids. That if there's anything that is missing, that the parent talk to the student talk to the parent, so they're really ready to go, Jack. It's surprising how many people get there. They don't have a book. They don't have something to write with. They don't have this. They don't have that. This is the time for parents to meet with their children, each one, and say, what do you need? What do you have? Tell me exactly what's going on. Find out if the school has, you know, homework, other information on the computer, if they send it home, how to make contact. A lot of times people have not planned for these kinds of things, including the bus route change. I mean, it sounds crazy, but so many things are going on right now that it's important to call a timeout each way. And sometimes the kids have to talk to the parents in terms of what they need. Parents may be well-intentioned, but they may not know, or they may just not be as involved as they ought to be. So this is the time to be organized. Move forward.
John, when we talk about devastating events in one's life, the loss of a job, certainly something that's affected a lot of people in the last couple of years, the loss of a loved one. Everyone loses parents eventually, or most of us do. And I think for some people, the loss of a spouse, and maybe a worst-case scenario, the loss of a child. But there are some other areas that I think can be particularly devastating, and one of them is personal betrayal.
Yes. You know, Jack, it's one of the very worst things imaginable. We tend to think of this happening in love when someone philanders on someone, when someone lies, when someone does something to devastate a person. But it happens in many phases, any phase of our life. I tend to think, I know it sounds maybe wacky historically, but Dante, when he wrote his Inferno, he did put Brutus and Cassius down in the lowest level of hell for the betrayal of Julius Caesar, because, you know, Brutus was actually somebody he had, when he fought against him in the Civil War, he forgave him, treated him like a son, totally trusted him in Shakespeare's immortal words, "E tu, Brute." And it sounds corny, but that's one of those Shakespearean type things, the tremendous betrayal when you have loved and cared, and if not even loved, but you've been very involved in projects, and then the person turns out to stab you in the back or betray you. It's like also Roosevelt, when he mentioned about the Japanese, a neighbor had stabbed a neighbor in the back, you know, during Pearl Harbor. So these are things that reoccur throughout life and experiences, and it's very, very sad. A person, you mentioned a job. Someone can keep you in a job, not even telling you that they're getting ready to either leave or sell their business, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. And that type of betrayal really just cuts and is devastating to the person.
I think back at Michigan State University, a situation you know very well, when Merrilee Dean Baker showed up on campus as athletic director, and her patron saint was then President John DiBiagio, yeah. And she was unloading boxes when she found out that DiBiagio had moved on to Tufts.
You know, it's always dangerous, but I'm going to give you a first-hand account. I actually talked to her one time in Indiana about that. I just happened to be talking to her, and she actually said, this table we were at, that she did not know he was leaving and that he told her he was going to be there. Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody into a good or a bad, but she definitely was in a very tough, bad situation, as you remember, did not last very long either.
Right. Exactly. You know, when we talk about this kind of betrayal, John, it was brought up about a week ago. I heard someone talking about, of all things, maybe one of the most heinous acts a person can commit and that is child molestation.
Yes.
And the person was talking about the ultimate trust that a child puts in a parent. And to take advantage of that, to violate that, it makes it even worse. You know, under no cases is that to be condoned. But because of that special relationship, it just amplifies the problem.
I completely agree, Jack. And sadly, I've been involved, have been in court when judges have really been quite enraged appropriately, when people don't even seem to realize what they have even done, which is even worse. I personally, there's nothing worse than child abuse in the first place. But when you have sexual abuse with someone who trusts you, you're right, that is such a betrayal. And the sad thing is too often that bad experience and encounter infects in a negative way their ability to have good relationships with other people the rest of their lives. It's just horrible. That's the ultimate victory of the scoundrel in a sexual abuse, is the lack of trust that the person has in people that love and care for them.
John, I want to talk about another example of extreme betrayal, and that is where there is abuse by clergy.
Yes.
And you're certainly familiar with some situations. You've read about them, as I have. In a situation like that where ultimate trust is given to someone, and then you find out that oftentimes there's a tremendous difference in age and power, and it's one of the more disgusting things that that we have seen.
Well, that is really true, because then you're even dealing in the name of God. The qualification I always give is, remember, most clergy are wonderful, upstanding,
yes,
God-fearing, but there is the but. The but is true.
Yes.
There's a certain percentage of predators in people that take advantage of people, and that is just about even worse. Sometimes you're dealing with a list of things so bad and so deep that would be, if Dante were around writing now, I'm sure he would have these folks down in his lowest rung in Hades there, because that is horrible. There's no question about it, Jack. Abusing a child, but then not only that, but doing it in the name of faith and trust, a parent, call it whatever you will, those are really horrible events. Very terrible, devastating.
Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com, our guest here on Ebling and You. John, I want to shift back to maybe lesser degrees of betrayal, but nonetheless, it's a very personal thing, and when you have been betrayed, it's hard for someone else to tell you shouldn't feel bad. What is the best way to deal with a situation like this where your trust has been violated?
I think they're different things, Jack. Sometimes you can just identify, you know, if you could feel better. I mean, if someone really takes advantage of you, sometimes it's best, particularly if your name is involved in it. I mean, you can come out and say, hey, this is what's happened. These are the cards. This is where they lay. And then let people come to their own conclusions. That's one thing. A second thing is to do nothing, just kind of move on. Another is to become enraged, lose control, run out, yell, say things. What I find in our society, becoming enraged and angry, often the focus goes back to you versus the other person. I think, though, if you're betrayed and there are other people involved, just putting the facts out. This has happened. Mm-hmm. This has occurred. Mm-hmm. Letting people be aware. But the main thing I always say in any of these betrayal situations, don't let it devour and destroy you or hurt your ability to trust others, because we're in an interdependent day, our neighborhood, our family, our friends, where we work. We have to trust people. So if someone betrays us, let us learn from that. Let that get out. I've never felt being a martyr and not saying how you feel about something is good. On the other hand, it can't destroy you in raging and becoming a volcano. To anybody who'll listen to you, they'll be focusing on the raging volcano rather than the betrayal and the wrong act that occurred.
John, you do a great job of coming up with quotations to support what we're doing here. And one in particular I want to talk about. God defend me from my friends. From my enemies, I can defend myself.
Well, that is really true, Jack. You know, if you really look, you look in the world, you look historically, and it's friends when they betray you. You see it all the time. You'll see a person that could have left a job, as an example, and the boss convinces him or her to stay.
Right.
And all the time, they're in the process of selling a business. They're in the process of looking for another job. And then the person stays. They're stuck, turned down an opportunity. And that's a case where you can defend yourself from an enemy. I mean, if you know someone doesn't like you, okay, and they're out to get you,
right,
that you can defend yourself. But if someone speaks the same language, has the same nuances, the same feelings, has the same beliefs, and then they come at you and take advantage of you, particularly when you were trusting, those are really the times that it's true. If you want to use that quote, which I do like that quote, God has to protect you from your friends. You know who the enemies are, and you know how to protect yourself from them. That's actually a very good quote, even if it's one that you and I are talking about.
John, with your love of college athletics, I'm sure you have seen this too, but many times in recruiting, athletes come to a school to play for a coach. And the coach says, hey, you know, you've got to come. This is what it's going to be. And then 2 days later, the athletes read the coach has accepted another job for more money. Meanwhile, the athletes are locked in and cost them a year of eligibility. They'd have to sit out if they transfer. Well, coaches can just hop around and take the best offer.
Well, obviously that's not fair. You know, I do realize if someone offers you a remarkably better offer, that, you know, you've got to at least maybe talk to the person. But I do think if you've made a commitment and you've already made a commitment to people that are coming to play for you, that really becomes very critical. And I believe when a coach leaves, that those persons ought to have an opportunity. Now, if they, you know, if the schools go on probation, they can do it. But I think if a coach leaves, but here's the argument of the university. Well, the person was committed to the school. Well, that may very well be true, but I think let's just take a Mark D'Antonio as an example. There's a guy who I think he's committed to people, and we can mention many. I'm just mentioning him as an example, and it would be surprising if all of a sudden he upped and went to Ohio State or went to Alabama. So I do feel when people commit, they're committing to a coach very much as they are to an institution. If we allow coaches to leave when they're taking commitments, we ought to allow the commitments to leave too. And I don't even see that as controversial. It just seems like an unfair double standard.
Well, betrayal is something that most of us face, run into at some point, whether it's family, business, some other situation, and it always helps to have someone you can talk to, someone you can run things by, and I would always refer you to drjohnb.com. John, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it very much.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
We'll talk with you Saturday morning. All right, let's take a break here. We'll be back with Tom Watkins, U.S., China, and education consultant, on his way to Beijing tomorrow. We'll be right back on Ebling & You.